your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I am excited because this series marks a defining moment in the maturity of the Outlet Community Church. This is the first time that we have been given clearance by the Lord to teach a series concerning spiritual gifts. The reason why that takes some time to understand and time to know, it without the proper foundation and building blocks of teaching, people can get into the extremes concerning the operations and demonstrations of Holy Spirit. And so I just want to start off by telling you all that you all have too much grace, too much divine ability at your disposal to live a mediocre life. And I want to begin a thread of teaching that will take us months to begin to unpack and begin to take our time with, that will help you unlock the gifting that is within. Now, I want to ask a show of hands, and you could be on either side of this question here, but has anyone experienced where you gave someone a gift and months later you saw the gift where you left it? Or has someone given you a gift and months or even years later, it was exactly where they left it in the wrapper? Anybody by a show of hands has ever been there? And as I began thinking about this message, Holy Spirit really began talking to me that's the way with the body of Christ. Salvation was free. Grace was freely given, but it wasn't cheap. And this gift that we have been given by God and His grace, He wants us to maximize it to the fullest capacity. Well, why do we want to do that? Because this is what's going to be what separates traditional church from flourishing churches, is the understanding and operation of Holy Spirit. To give you some history, in the early 1900s, a revival like none other took place here in our country. It was called the Azusa Street Revival. And it was led by a black preacher by the name of William Seymour. And that revival lasted for 9 years, from 1906 to 1915 in Los Angeles, California. People traveled from all over to experience what God was doing in LA. And following this revival, there were other movements that arose within our country. Number one, just to name a few, there was the Holiness Pentecostalism movement. There was the Healing Revival movement. There was the Charismatic Renewal movement. And then there was the rise of word-based teaching, just to name a few. But with every movement and with every operation and whatever God wants to do on the earth, there's a challenge that arises. And that challenge is to remain centered on Christ and the Word of God and not get into the extremes. And so for the sake of not wanting to get over into the extremes of what people saw, one of the notable extremes that has caused a hesitancy for people to fully teach and to operate in the grace and power of Holy Spirit is something called charismania. And has anyone ever heard of the phrase charismania by a show of hands? All right, a few of us in here. Let me explain what charismania is. It was outlandish, theatrical, and emotionalism-driven behavior, but it wasn't based on worship. And so you had people doing crazy things in the name of the Lord or Holy Spirit. There was people who would not eat for 2 months at a time trying to act like the Lord. Listen, if God did not lead you on a 40-day fast, only thing you're going to get out of it is a hunger headache. Like, you need to understand that you have to be led to do certain things spiritually. And so charismania took off, and without proper context, you may be able to pull up different videos on YouTube about people who, quote-unquote, caught the Holy Ghost. And it put a bad taste in people's mouths. And so I want to caution all of us to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. That sometimes people manipulated the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll talk about this in just a moment. Other times, people wanting to be seen acted like something was happening that wasn't. But I believe that we need to, as the Outlet Community Church, live centered in the Word of God concerning the full operation of Holy Spirit, because without Holy Spirit in your day-to-day life, you are selling yourself short. The gifts of the Spirit are not solely for those who are standing up here ministering the Word of God from the pulpit. The gifts of the Spirit aren't only in operation on Sunday morning, but God desires his gifts and his operations to flow 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who works in all of us." Verse 7, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." The New King James says, "so that all may profit." The Greek word profit that is used there is where we get our word symphony from, meaning that we all have a diversity and a uniqueness of gifting, but when it's from God, it's meant to operate in a particular way. And so the title of this first installment, because we're going to take our time and we'll see how far we get over the next 3 weeks and then pick it up in a Bible study format to really explicate all of the spiritual gifts so that you have an understanding of what's at work and what can be at work within you. The title of today's message is simply "Same Spirit, Custom Expressions." Same Spirit, Custom Expressions. So growing up in church and having an opportunity to learn from really, really, I'm ringing a whole lot this morning. Can you all turn that down a little bit? I had the opportunity to learn from some very outstanding individuals. We would call them generals in the faith. The problem of learning from generals in the faith and what I saw growing up is that everyone tried to pattern how God was using them based off how we use somebody who was church famous. And they wanted to flow or operate the same way that someone who they deemed as super anointed was operating, and they minimized how God was using them. And I would like to submit to each of you today that you've been operating in spiritual gifts and at times don't even know it. So what makes you unique is your ability to see and to operate and to call things before the natural eye can see them. Have you all ever been there where you were talking with somebody and all of a sudden that individual, you begin to share something with that individual? You didn't know why you were sharing it with that individual, but you just happened to share it. And they looked at you like, you know, they saw, you know, three different ghosts at one time. And they said, "How did you know that?" And you said, "I don't know. I just felt like I needed to share that with you." We can't minimize the supernatural always trying to operate in the spectacular. People are always looking for this grandiose moment where they can say, "God is using me," and all the while, the fact that you're even operating the way that you're operating is a miracle in of itself. And so I want to build the faith in our church, and I want to build the faith of every single person that's under the sound of my voice, that as a result of you receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live and to dwell within you, but he didn't come to live and dwell within you just to hang out and do nothing, but he came to enhance the quality of your life in every function. I believe it's in 1 John where it says, the Spirit knows all things. And here's the reality. He meant what he said. He knows all things. Can you imagine what life would be like if you knew what was going to happen before it happened, months, years before it ever happened? How would that position you in your life? I'm just trying to get the Lord to give me some lotto numbers. And I'm, you know, listen, I don't encourage gambling, but however, if there was a operation of specific, anyway, so. Just trying to say. But he knows all. And so imagine every day we wake up and we try to take life in our own hands, and there's indwelling help to give you the answers you need for the day if you just check in. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force you to do anything that you don't want to do, and that includes listening to him. God's not going to take over your body and just have you start convulsing for no reason and, you know, just all the crazy things that we've seen in church. That wasn't God. That was that person. The word says the gift is subject to the prophet, meaning, this stage is rocking today. Lord have mercy. I'm going to come down. Get Drew to make sure I'm readjusted, because every time I walked, I just felt like I don't know what that's going to be next. But so many people have been turned off to Holy Spirit, and I believe it's a tactic of Satan. So before we begin, the Holy Spirit and his gifts are for everyone. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to say this because I'm going to correct something that I see often in the body of Christ, and you all are going to hear it today, because in this series of spiritual gifts, there's got to be some parameters or else you are going to be loopy and you'll end up pushing people further from Christ, and that's not what the spiritual gifts are for. The spiritual gifts are so that people can know that Jesus is alive. And in teaching this, the concern as a pastor that I have is that we don't get in the extreme of now trying to follow every mystic or spiritual reality. Because every spirit ain't holy. And just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's godly. Okay? However, I believe that we're at a point in our church where we get to have these conversations about the true matters of God and get us to a point where, as a community, we're operating as the early church did in the book of Acts. What made the early church so marketable, in a sense, if I had to use a word? Or what made the early church so attractive? It wasn't just preaching. It was preaching and demonstration of the power of God. The Generation Z that's under us, as well as the Alpha generation that's after them, like, there were more after millennial? Yes, there are more after millennial. They are no longer just doing what someone told them if someone doesn't show them. They need to see why. And so if church is going to remain on the cutting edge, it just can't be lectures all day. It just can't be a nice, cute sermon with nice, cute, practical applications. But it's got to have some power associated with it so that people can see in their lives there's a change taking place. All right? So Holy Spirit and his gifts are for all. I really want to bring this home. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift, meaning grace, through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd captives and he gave gifts to his people. So when we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit comes within us. That is the gift of grace. Holy Spirit is grace. That's the gift within. But then there has to be a willful act on our part to say, not only do I want Holy Spirit within me, but I also, Holy Spirit, give you permission to operate upon me. And that's such a gift, because in the Old Testament, there were only select individuals that were able to operate with Holy Spirit upon them. And when Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament, they did great and mighty exploits. When you think of Samson had supernatural strength. And he was able to kill, you know, all type of animals with a jawbone. He was able to just have strength that was unheard of. You had individuals that were prophets, and they were able to prophesy, and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Daniel, they were able to prophesy about things that still have not taken place, but yet a lot of their prophecies have already come to pass. So that's in the Old Testament, the random people that were able to have Holy Spirit upon. Under this new covenant, the moment you accept Holy Spirit, you have the opportunity to ask Holy Spirit to come upon you, and so that you can operate in that same exact way. So here's the first correction that I have to the body of Christ. Operating in the anointing and the power of God is not relegated to people just because they pray. Just because you don't understand the cost of this oil. You don't understand what I sacrificed. You don't understand how many years I sweat, I cried, I gave. And that's why my anointing is like this. You are prideful. It's grace. It's unearned. It's available to everyone. The thing is, we've got to build the body of Christ up and their faith up high enough so that they can say, hey, I can use this gift too. So solid teaching on Holy Spirit should leave you feeling more empowered to live a life led by Holy Spirit. Just because one person expresses their gift a certain way doesn't mean everyone will or should express their gift in that one way. And so I remember being taught on Holy Spirit. And I was taught that I had to have my prayer time in a certain time of the day for a certain length of time and a certain way. And y'all, I tried it because I wanted to be close to Jesus too, right? Like the person teaching it. Y'all know I could never do it and enjoy it. It wasn't until the last 2 to 3 years that I realized that my best prayer time is when I'm working out. Because that's what I enjoy doing. And for me, working out is me telling my body, you are not in charge. And it dawned on me, when I'm telling my body that it's not in charge, then Holy Spirit has a way of speaking through me. So God wants to spend time with you while you're doing things that you enjoy. No, you mean he wants me to have fun? Get out of here. Yes. And keep something nearby where you can jot down what he shares with you and what he tells you. I've come out of times of working out, come out of times of running miles, and come told my wife things that we're walking in right now. There were times when we were going through our negotiations and dealing with different types of things. And as I was working out, I just had peace come over me that said, all is well. Everything's going to be taken care of. You have what you need. I got this. And I would come in and say, babe, I just got to know the victory. I think this is a done deal. Here we are. Done deal. Everyone can operate. Everyone can operate like this. And so when I stand up here and say, well, you know, Holy Spirit was sharing, I'm just doing that to model for your life. Because he wants to talk and share with you. And sometimes people don't know, like, how do I know, like, God is talking to me? The way you know it's God talking to you, it's something that is beneficial for you that you don't want to do. That's how you know it's him. If it's something that feels good, that's Satan. Every time. If it's something that has a level of if then, if they do, then I will, that's you. Conditional. When you deal with Holy Spirit, he's very proactive. And he will tell you things, and no matter what anybody else does, his word remains. But the reason I'm bringing this to you all to understand is that cults are formed because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the true power and they get people hooked. And so a lot of cultish activity comes from the extremes of the charismatic. And one of the traits that people use in cults is cult leaders often claim to have a special connection to God, higher power, or the universe. Some of these churches out here, some of these pastors are nothing but cult leaders because they want to act like they're the only ones that hear from God. They're the only ones that God talks to, that you can't hear something apart from them. Let me give you some truth. If I ever share anything with any one of you, if you don't have a peace and it wasn't something that God was already dealing with you about, you are under no obligation to receive it. You put it on the shelf until God speaks to you about it. Amen. They claim to be the point of contact between God, a higher power of the universe, and the rest of the group. This means that the leader has access to divine revelation, which is special knowledge directly from God that the rest of the group does not have. And if you could see this type of behavior, and unfortunately, I've seen this type of behavior more times than I care to recount, where the pastor separates himself from the people and makes it so that the people will never get to the level of the pastor. I feel like I failed if the people of this church don't far exceed my walk with the Lord. I just model the way that we're supposed to live as you follow Christ, but God will take you places that I'll never go. God will give you revelation that I may never get. But that's why we have community, because 1 Corinthians 13 says we all see in part and we all know in part. All right. So the same Holy Spirit works in the life of every believer, regardless of age, gender, race, social status, and nationality. It's important to know. So that means that our young people, our babies, our children, our teens, when they accept Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit desires to operate in and upon them. And so you need to begin speaking to your children. You need to begin speaking to this next generation, not like they have to wait till they're 18. Not like they don't know what God is leading them. Honestly, it's out of the mouth of babes that you hear the oracles of God. And so begin declaring and begin, especially parents in here, you're the spiritual leaders of your house. Begin activating by speaking life into those gifts that are within them. Help them to cultivate a sensitive heart to God. Help them to cultivate to know what is him and what is the enemy. Because that sometimes can be the difference between life and death. And I want to close with this and just start a time of worship today just to begin to lay the foundation of this season. I believe in the coming days, we're going to see supernatural demonstrations of Holy Spirit that everyone will know that God is real. You will know that God is real, and that's what ultimately changes the hearts and lives of every person. Notice I haven't gone into any of the gifts yet. I haven't gone into any of the offices yet. I haven't gone into any of the functions yet. Because without this foundation, people can get into error on these things. So I am just solely laying a foundation. So why does God want to operate in and upon and through our lives? Because number one, he wants to let us know that we are loved well. And he wants to let everyone you come in contact with know that they are loved well. Unfortunately, spiritual gifts have sometimes been used as a premise for manipulation, spiritual abuse. It's been used to extract ungodly amount of money and resources from the people of God. My wife, we when we first got married, we were poor, like poor. It was bad. And I'll never forget, y'all remember when BET used to have different preachers late at night? And one time she found a preacher that said that if you sow a certain amount of money, he'll send you healing water. And that healing water will cause your finances to increase in ways like never before. So unbeknownst to me, till I went to the mailbox, my wife put an order in for some healing water. And what we found out after 6 months of waiting for that healing water never came. And until we got a hold of the revelation of God's grace, we were just as broke as we like to be. We can't be playing games with folks. We can't. Unfortunately, we've been in services where preachers know how to act like the service is real high and it's a move of the Spirit, and then they're going to have an offering and just come up here. The water is stirring. If you throw your money on the stage, God's going to do something for you before you leave the church building today. Number one, you don't get no tax credit for that money you just threw up there on that stage. And number two, he was going to do the same thing before you ever decided to throw that money up there on that stage. And I have friends who, to this day, have a hard time going back and stepping into the doors of the church because their mother would take the light bill money and give it to the pastor who was going to take off in a jet at the end of the day. And working through that. Now, I'm all for if the Lord leads you to give, give. But the Lord has to lead you, and there will be signs following. My wife and I had, again, I told y'all we were poor. So somebody gave us $300 cash. And when you ain't got no money, $300 feel like $3 million. The Lord said, that money does not belong to you. And when he said that money didn't belong to us, you know, we were a little hesitant, but we said, well, who does it belong to? So we gave that money away in faith that, Lord, if you said it, then you've got to have fruit on what you said. Sure enough, wasn't too much long later, we received a check for $4,000. So that's when you know God said. You don't know when he's going to come through, but if he said it, there's fruit on the other side. And so anytime you're talking about this whole God told me, God said, and you don't have no fruit, you lying, and you need to go sit down somewhere and prove some stuff out before you start talking out loud to folk. But what happens is when you trust and you begin to develop a relationship and a cadence with how he deals with you, you'll begin to speak and say things, and they'll happen. I told my wife, at the top of this year, I said, babe, somebody's going to give us a building. She said, you crazy. There's a prophecy that I think will either be this week or next week that I'll play for you all. It was a 7-minute prophecy of my life during the last 31 days of prayer. And this person who didn't know me from Adam said the same thing. And I'm thinking, you crazy. Now, what am I about to do after I get off this stage? I'm about to go to that place that everybody said that we were going to get. Amen. Amen. So, because I'm going to be real late. I'm about to get out the car and walk right on the stage. I got to do a town hall meeting and just answer questions, you know, and help people understand what does it mean to be a part of the Outlet Community Church? God has given us an opportunity to do something special in the kingdom of God. And my heart is that we all get on the same page and we go all in for what God wants us to do. Like, times are too crazy for us to be halfway about living this life for God. It really is. And it's too much at stake. And so I'm going to leave you all, and worship team, you all can get in place so that we can have a time of worship after I share this. We're not going to wait till December 31st to give y'all the word of the Lord for 2023. I'm going to give y'all the word of the Lord right now, December 4th, 2022, about what's to happen in 2023. For those who have not been around here, I'm not looking per se for a focus for the upcoming year. I'm just focused on what God has for each day. But every single year we've been at the outlet, God has always prepared our church for what he is going to be doing in the coming days. Who remembers 2020? All right. And if you were here in January, I said, for whatever reason, I'm sensing that 2020 is going to be a year of disruption. I think he wants to disrupt some of our patterns and just fully trust him. Little did I know Ebola Senior was going to come through and disrupt everything. So let me give you this as we have a time of worship today. What will 2023 look like? And the title of this is A Countercultural Anointing Activated. And this word is also on our website if you want to print it and read it each day. When society says opportunities are shrinking, and let me give some context. So I was about to go to sleep after vacation in my bed next to my wife. The board was down. I thought it was going to be a good night. And in my heart, I sensed the Lord began stirring. And years past, I would say, big dog, I'll get you in the morning. I remember. And then I wake up in the morning, I say, what'd he say? And I didn't want to miss this. I knew he wanted to share something. So this is a result of me stopping what I wanted to do and getting my journal out and starting to write. And so I started to write until I got to the end. And so this is literally what came from spending time. Really, I wasn't spending time with God. I was listening to R&B all the way home on a vacation. So that goes and debunks that you got to be in this whole. Listen, God will talk to you anywhere, however, wherever, whenever. So I'll share this. And this is Lord speaking. He says, when society says opportunities are shrinking, I say more are opening. When society says jobs are being eliminated, I'm making new ones for you. I'm releasing divine insight to the supernatural reserves of heaven that are ready to be revealed in these days. Whatever you need and some has already been allocated for your assignment. When society says it's impossible, I've already made it possible. It will not make sense for all the ways I'm releasing my provision to you for the purpose of it going through you. You are a beacon and a light that cannot be hidden. My glory is upon you. My favor goes before you. Do not question my leadings and promptings. Just cooperate. This next year will be like none other. I've strategically aligned you to be my storehouse and my reservoir, where those who are genuinely searching will find me. I'm filling up your reserves. I'm setting you up to be a leader in your family and community for generations to come. I've been working behind the scenes the entire time. Now I'm calling you to step forward. Move forward in power. Move forward in my authority. Nothing shall be able to stand against you. I am your shield and your defense. I make crooked paths straight and remove all obstacles in the way of my plan. Walk forward boldly and see me at work everywhere you look. Can you all stand on your feet this morning? Amen. We can move this out. Yep. Worship team, you can come. So all of this is in operation, but the question is, will we prepare our hearts? Get all the gunk and all the junk, all the bitterness, all the doubt out the way for God to do what only he can in your life. And as we sing today in Holy Spirit, we're giving him permission in our lives, in our hearts, in our families. After they're done worshiping, my wife will close out service. I'm looking forward to the coming days of what God wants to share. We're just getting started. We haven't even scratched the surface. But I believe that there will be a tremendous move in your life that will take and transform our communities. Amen.